Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Weekly Word. We are just now ending the Feast of Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks on the Hebrew calendar. You've come through your time of promotion. Remember, as I've been sharing over the last few weeks, this is such a special time. It's where God called the Israelites to come to the base of Mount Sinai. They were to consecrate themselves, and then they were to come and receive their new identity. Their new identity as the sons and daughters of the King. In other words, God was going to be speaking to them that if they could accept this covenant, the Ten Commandments that are written in Exodus chapter 20, they would be called a royal priesthood and a holy nation. They would be the peculiar people that God would take for himself. Now, what's so important about this time is that God chose to give of himself through the Torah or the Ten Commandments. God began to speak to the people about who he is. Now, listen, this is incredibly important because God at this time was reconciling humanity unto himself by sharing who he is. Remember, Adam and Eve were under the curse of the fall of man. The Israelites had been in bondage for 400 years. And here is God saying, I'm ready now to enter into relationship with my people. And I'm going to do this through telling them who I am. And if they can accept that, if they can come into agreement with that, they don't have any identity at this point. And I pulled them out of Egypt, which is pulled them out of this place of living in the curse, the bondage of gain, the bondage of provision, protection, and acceptance, needing that all the time, the curse of the toil of the land. And I'm calling them unto me, and I, God, am going to reveal to the people who I am in the Ten Commandments. Can they come to the base of Mount Sinai? Can they make this understanding of who I am a new boundary for themselves? Will they obey my commands? If they say yes, then they will be my peculiar people, my treasured possession, my royal priesthood, and my holy nation. So the people said yes. And then we move on. Exodus 21 keeps going, 22, 23, and God begins to calls Moses up to the mountain and says, listen, I want to reveal myself to the people through the tabernacle. I want you to build a tabernacle, and I want it to be like the heavenly tabernacle. I want that to be made manifest in the earth. So this is all of the dimensions. And Moses, I'm going to give that to you. I want you to carry that out in the earth. As the people are traveling to the promised land where they're going to receive the blessings that I want to give them, I want to go with them in a pillar of a cloud by day, a fire by night, but I want to be God to them in this place, this treasured tabernacle. So there's instructions for the building of the tabernacle where God's spirit is going to be released. Now let's fast forward. Acts chapter 2. We know Feast of Shavuot or Feast of Weeks is also called the Feast of Pentecost on the in the New Testament. Okay, and so what happens then? Same thing. Jesus calls the people, to the 120, to go to the upper room. Fire comes on the mountain, just like Mount Sinai. You can also read this correlation in Hebrews chapter 12 between the fire on Mount Sinai and the mountain, that it was a fearful place to come to it, versus Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is in Hebrews chapter 12, okay? So the transition's being made now because of Jesus. So Jesus now is saying, go up to the upper room. You're going to receive fire, the fire baptism. With that fire, you're going to have my Holy Spirit deposited inside you. You're going to become the tabernacle for the power of the Holy Spirit. And then my people are going to be sent out. They're going to go forth. Okay. They're going to be called. And the Apostle Peter shares this. We are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. He repeats from the Old Testament who the people are. So whether you're following the Old Testament, Exodus 19, 20, and then of course the building of the tabernacle, the specifications for it, 21, 22, 23, 24, right in there. Okay. Then we fast forward to Acts chapter 2, and this is what we see happening. Now, what else is happening in Acts chapter 2? And this is where I want to tell you things are moving toward. This is the final night at sundown, Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks is over. So what are some of the things that would have happened the last couple of weeks? God would have helped define your boundaries, okay? Just like there was the bounds around the mountain, and take time and consideration before you come and touch those boundaries, okay? Right? So this is a boundary time of reestablishment. God's bringing new mantles. They were mantled with the covenant. It was a new identity. So new identity is coming upon you. Then also new assignments, okay, related to the new identity. So all of us go from glory to glory to glory. So we're growing in our identity and who we are in Christ, all right? So whether you're following in Exodus or whether you're following in the book of Acts, same thing's happening. The church of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 2 is getting a new identity. They're finding out who they are and the power of the pure, righteous, and Holy Spirit coming to live on the inside of them. God writing all of his laws on their hearts and on their minds, that they might now be the tabernacle of the Lord and his presence may come and reside on the inside of them. See, he was speaking in Exodus 21 through 23 and they're talking about the specifications of the heavenly tabernacle being made manifest in the earth because God wanted to dwell with his people. So then he's also doing this here. He's making this revelation come forth because he wants to dwell with his people in Acts chapter 2. How does he do that? Jesus dies, buries, resurrects, reconciles us to the Father. Father sends the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit and power come to live on the inside of us. We become the tabernacle of the Lord. Wow. Fast forward to October, and that's what we're going to be celebrating, is the Feast of Tabernacles. What? That we are the tabernacle of the Lord. Wow. Come on. All of this makes sense, right? Old Testament, New Testament, tied together. This is my passion. You know how excited I get about this. Okay, so what's happening? You've been writing new boundaries. God's been speaking to you. You've had testings. You've had some trials. You've had some warfare. You've now passed through Shavuot. You received new mantles. God's going to bring you new revelation of assignments. If you haven't yet gotten them, you're going to get them because you're going from glory to glory. New identity in this year of 5785, according to the Hebrew calendar, or 2025, this year of grace, you're coming into a new level of identity in Christ. New levels mean new devils. It's all right. God's preparing you. New levels also mean greater intimacy with the Lord. And ultimately, that's what Exodus 19 through 24 is all about. Is God saying, I want to reveal myself to my people. I God, want to be intimate, and I'm going to come through my word, the Torah, or I'm going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit, which is who I am being made manifest and deposited inside the born again believer, the one that believes in Yeshua as Messiah, the one that believes that Yeshua died on the cross to break the curse of the sin of the fall of man, to be buried and resurrect to new life, the people of God, those who believe, and then position them to receive the power of the Holy Spirit made manifest in fire. So this is powerful. Now, the Church of Jesus Christ will recognize this on June 8th, even though I'm telling you, we've just passed through it, okay? They'll recognize it on Sunday, June 8th. So when you go to church on Sunday, June 8th, what's going to happen? The pastor is going to be talking to you about Acts chapter 2. He's going to be sharing with you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be able to say, wow, pastor, I also know and understand that this has to do with Exodus chapter 19, when God called the people to Mount Sinai. And they had to consecrate themselves and become holy and wait for the fire to come on the mountain and the Torah, or the Ten Commandments and the laws of God, to be made manifest and read. And they had to come into agreement. You could say, pastor, I come into agreement with Torah. Who is Torah? The word made manifest is who? John chapter 1, verse 1. Jesus is the word. And so the word died, buried, and resurrected, right? That we might now have the word on the inside of us and fullness of power, dunamis power. So what happens, all right? So this means boundary reestablishment is that you're going to go to next levels of being a giver, all right? So whatever this new assignment is that God has for you, it's a new assignment to be a giver at another level. Come on, somebody high five me right now. Say, Candace, I'm ready to be a new giver at another level. Your new boundaries for Moving ahead into the next feast, the third largest feast on the Hebrew calendar, will be, okay, and I would say main feast because Passover, Pentecost, or weeks, or Shavuot, which is now, and then Sukkot, or Tabernacles, in the fall time frame. So between now and then, okay, we will be positioning ourselves to learn at next levels, because God is revealing to us at next levels what it means to be a giver. How much grace has He given us to be a giver? Now, let me show you that from the Word of God. Okay, so there's a couple of things that God does during this time. In Exodus chapter 23, He gives us seven blessings. Now, sometimes we call them seven blessings of the Passover because they wouldn't exist without the Passover. If Jesus had not done what He was called to do, all right, we would not be able to walk in the fullness of the promised land today, okay? So those who believe in Jesus believe that we are living in the realm of the promised land. All we have to do is take the land that we've been given. So there are seven blessings that God assigns to us. Read this in Exodus chapter 23. One of those is that He assigns an angel to us. So you're getting a new angel, all right? This is Exodus 23 verses 20 through 31. He assigns a new angel to us. He's going to be an enemy to our enemies. He's going to give prosperity to His people. Now, all of these is about how God's going to give us something. So somebody needs to catch on here. See, the whole Shavuot, Feast of Shavuot, new boundaries, new assignments, is about how we can be givers like God. So here God's saying, I want to give you the promised land, and with it, I'm going to give you a new angel. I'm going to be your protector. I'm going to be an enemy to your enemies. I'm going to give you prosperity. I am going to make you have a clean bill of health. In other words, I'm going to take sickness away from you. All right. And then He says, I'm going to give you a long life. Right. And then He says, I'm going to bring you increase. I'm going to give you increase and inheritance. Whoa, we're the sons and daughters of the King. And then He says, I'm going to give you a special year's blessing. So these blessings from the Lord are what He wants to give us. Now, somebody needs to catch on here. God is revealing to Himself on the mountain, or on up in the upper room when He brings forth the power of the Holy Spirit, that He is a giver and He wants to give us all of this. Can we accept it and can we believe it? Come on. Can you accept it and believe it now? God is a giver and He wants to give you something. Now, let's fast forward. He does all of this in the Old Testament, but He does it in the New Testament. Because when He gives in the power of the Holy Spirit, right, then what happens? He sends them out. He sends the disciples out. Now, one of the first things happened in Acts chapter 2 is it says that as they followed after, in this intimacy with God, they became these great givers. See, when God takes you to next levels, you get intimate with Him. And when you get intimate with Him, you receive so much of Him and His presence that you have to give it away. You become full and complete, just like Jesus made a way for you to be full and complete so that you can be a giver. Now listen, this is exciting. Because in Acts chapter 2, the fellowship of the believers came together. And what does it say? It says that they did many signs. They did many signs. They did many wonders. It says that they broke bread together. Listen, they had amazing things happen to them. Okay. Absolutely amazing things. Okay. They were huge givers and they had amazing things happen to them. Okay. And so they broke bread together. They sold their goods. They shared amongst each other. See, these folks could not help themselves but to be givers, and to be givers in a big way. Now, this is important to know this. Okay. So that's Acts chapter 2. It says, Acts chapter 2, verse 46, and they continuing daily in one accord in the temple, they broke bread from house to house. They ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So they were living in a realm of faith, a realm of the promised land. It was being made manifest in the earth. In this promised land place, they had no concern about gaining anything, only what they had received and how they were going to give. Come on, somebody needs to help me here. What's a sign of new boundaries? It's when you become a bigger giver. Mm-hmm. It's when you stop trying to get and you believe already that you have, and so therefore you shall give. All right. And now listen, God tests us in this. Okay. So let me tell you what else happened. Then we go into Acts chapter 3. So listen, this is right after they received the Holy Spirit. The first major miracle that's recorded is when John and Peter go to the temple of, it is the temple of beautiful, okay? It's the gate called beautiful at the temple, okay? So they're at the temple, it's the gate called beautiful, and what do they see? They see a lame man sitting there. And the lame man looks at John, and he wanted to receive something from John and from Peter. And he was crying out, you know, he was begging, let me receive something. But John and Peter, this is what they said, okay? So Peter says, silver and gold have I none. He says, but such that I have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and he lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up, he stood, he walked, and he entered with them into the temple. And he was walking, he was leaping, he was praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that this was the man who would sit and ask for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled, the people that saw it were filled with wonder and amazement at which had happened. Now, see, when you begin to start giving and giving as God directs you to give, not only will those that you give to be saved, healed, and redeemed, but they'll go and they'll share the good news that Jesus, because of him, they're saved, healed, and redeemed. So this is how the gift multiplies. All right, and multiplies. Now, Peter and John said, listen, dude, you're asking for just money here. And he's like, I'm going to do more for you than money. I'm going to give you your life back. I'm going to give you your walking ability. And that is a greater gift than what you're asking for. See, I'm prophesying to somebody right now. Some of you are asking God at the lower levels, and God wants to give you a gift that is at such a high level. This man was asking at the lowest level of his need. But what God wanted to do was he wanted to show him something about himself, something about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, through the disciples, that was going to quicken this man to know not only God's love for him, but to set him up for a way that he would be able to receive more and more riches from the Lord. See, we ask too small because we think too small, because we see through only our basic needs for provision, protection, acceptance. And God says, there's so much more to this story. And so here we find God just breaking through that, using the disciples to break through it. Like, I know you're asking for money, dude, but instead I'm going to give you your life back. And now you're going to be able to be positioned to receive from maybe even having a job or something. Like, who knows what's going to happen to this man? Who knows how his life is going to go to next levels? So see, our God is without limits. He's without boundaries. So your new boundary is to be a giver of the Holy Spirit and his presence, even of the riches that God has given you. See, stop thinking about what you have and start thinking about what God wants to release to you when, by faith, you give. Now, I'm going to fast forward, or actually go back and forth between Exodus and Acts. Now, here, this is the second major feast, the Feast of Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, Feast of Pentecost. Okay, we're still in that window because the Christian church is not going to celebrate it until June 8th. Remember, the Christian calendar's off from the Hebrew calendar. Find out about that by getting my book, 365 Prophetic Revelations from the Hebrew Calendar. Then you're going to know, and you're going to be able to discern the times and seasons. You're going to be able to understand what God is doing right now. So God's saying, listen, if you're going to come to me on Shavuot or on the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost, you need to come and bring me a gift. And he says that not only in Deuteronomy chapter 16, he says it in Exodus chapter 23, and again in Exodus chapter 34. He's surrounding everything that he's saying about giving by calling the people for generations to come to bring him a gift during three times a year feasts: the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. All right, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread is what it's also called, the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Ingathering. Okay, those are the other names you might read in your Bibles. Okay, same three feasts. So he says, it's time to come before me and to bring an offering in accordance with that in which I have given you. Now listen, this is very important. You want to see breakthrough in your life, and start believing the word of God. Okay. So during these three feast times, the people would come and they would bring God a gift. That was part of coming to the party. God's having a party. He's having a feast. Feast away. Come and worship God. It's his calendar. It's God's calendar. It's God's party. It's God's moedim, his appointed time. It's his time to come to the party and to play. And so with that, we come with the gift. Just like you don't go to the birthday party that you've been invited to without bringing gift for the birthday girl or the birthday boy. That would actually be like not a good move, right? Okay. Because they're throwing a party. Or if there's a wedding, if there's a wedding feast, you're going to come and you're going to bring a gift for the bride and the groom, right? Okay. There's just some things that we do. And these are things that are actually written in the Word of God. So you're going to come to the party and we're going to bring a blessing. So read it yourself right there after they received the Ten Commandments. God was positioning them for intimacy with him through the Word. He then tells them, come and bring me a gift. That's in Exodus chapter 23. That's right around the same time that he says, I have seven blessings for you. I'm going to bless your socks off, is what he's saying in Exodus chapter 23. And what were those blessings? They were the ones I just read to you. Exodus 23 verses 20 through 31. Those are the seven blessings. And in every single blessing, he says he's going to give us something. So here's my question to you. Do you believe him? Do you have enough faith to believe God? Are you going to begin to understand that it is time to come and to bless the Lord during his feast? Now, I want you to know I've practiced this for years, both my husband and I have, and we have been faithful to bring God the gifts that he wants, and he'll speak to us. This is the gift I want to receive from you, all right? And so he asks us to give him a gift because he wants to know whether we'll believe him, that he indeed is a giver, and he's going to give us more. That's all that this is. It's like sowing a seed in faith that we believe that God is a great giver and that God is going to bless his people. But we actually have in his word what kind of blessings we're receiving. So he says during this time, these are the seven blessings that I want to give you. Right there in Exodus chapter 23. Now I just brought you through Exodus 19, Exodus 20, 21, 22, 23. This is all a part of it, right? Now this is relevant to the New Testament, because he says it's done for generations, which means it didn't go away when Jesus died, buried, and resurrected. Okay. It's not like the Old Testament went away. All that happened was Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament, but it doesn't negate the fact that we aren't supposed to be cheerful givers. Cheerful means above and beyond. It means that because of what Jesus did, we believe God even more. The Apostle Paul says that. He says, listen, if you really believe, then you'll really give way more than you've ever imagined. Why ever imagine? Because you're tapping, like the rich young ruler was challenged by Jesus. You're tapping in to what you believe is the treasures of heaven. What you believe is your treasure beyond the curse of the fall of man, where you believe that you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, that you're in the promised land, you're in a place of fullness and completion. Do you believe that? And so here, as we pass through Shavuot, or as you're coming up to the June 8th, which is the Feast of Pentecost, according to the Christian calendar, are you ready to bless the Lord? Now listen, go bless your church, write a check, and bless your church. Your pastor's going to go, what are you doing this for? And you're going to go, because God says it in his word. He says it in Deuteronomy 16. He says it in Exodus 23. He says it in Exodus 34. And say, pastor, I'm going to be faithful to what God is telling me to do. And I'm going to respond right now in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to bless the Lord. And I know that God is a giver. And my new boundaries are boundaries where I'm called to give of myself time, talent, treasure, and testimony. And I'm to bless the kingdom. Come on. Every resource is yours. There is nothing missing, nothing broken. God is not stopping anything, but he is the ultimate giver. He gave his son. Come on. He gave his son that we might be saved, healed, and redeemed. He gave his most precious possession to rescue his peculiar possession from the effects of the fall of man, the curse of the fall of man, and eternal damnation. And so we have been redeemed. How much more so shall we be living in a realm of abundancy that we should be givers from a place of abundancy? Now listen, people cry out for revival. They cry out for reformation. How do you think revival and reformation happens? When the church believes it has more than enough. See, if the church believes it doesn't have enough, or if the church believes it's under a curse, or it's in a place of agony, or a place of deprivation, or sin, death, and the grave haven't been defeated, then that's how the church is going to see things. If the church believes that we're in the promised land because of what Jesus has done, that we are in a victorious place, more than conquerors. We're the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. We'll lend to many and we'll borrow from none. If we believe that, we're going to give as such. Your new boundaries at Shavuot, or crossing through Shavuot, is that you have received from the Lord everything you need, and you are living in a place of abundancy. And you believe this by faith, because Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was sufficient for you to live in purity, holiness, and righteousness, be a son and daughter of the King, be a royal priesthood and a holy nation, be endowed with dunamis power from on high, that you can go forth and you can be the avenue that God uses to give the gifts of miracles and healing to the people, even when they're asking, oh, if there's a spare thing that God wants to give me. And God says, spare? He's like, I don't even know what spare is. He's like, I'm abundant and I only give my people abundantly. You're asking for a silver coin? I'm going to give you your life back. Come on, somebody needs to rejoice with me today. You have been blessed at Pentecost that you might have your life back. It is fully redeemed. You're whole. You're righteous. You're full. You're complete. You're living in the realms of heaven, seated with Christ in heavenly places. And his presence is your portion. He is your lot and your portion. You are at next levels of intimacy. Come up to the mountain, just like he called Moses, and sit with him and adore him. Come on, I'm getting excited right now. Listen, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I thank you for my friend who's watching. Let them receive an impartation of faith, that they would go to new boundaries of giving in the mighty name of Yeshua, that they would be blessed beyond measure in their souls, that their soul would be prosperous, and therefore all things be prosperous. That's 3 John 2, that your health would be prosperous and your pocketbook would be prosperous, and that no matter what challenges you face, you should have an abundant mindset. And anytime you might be lagging or feeling depressed or anxious, you would lift your eyes up and you would see, and you would come up higher, just as he called Moses, just as he called the Apostle John. Come up higher and see that which I want to show you. Come on. And as Jesus says, go up higher and sit in the upper room, that I might receive the power of the Holy Spirit, dunamis power, that's going to take you to next levels. Listen, dunamis power, an impartation of that is going to make your faith high. God has new and fresh gifts he wants to give you. I have this amazing teaching online all about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire and how to activate your gifts. Go online and grab a hold of that right now. I'm going to walk you through baptism by fire. Come on, who wants to receive the baptism by fire? Who? Glory. Lord, I thank you, Father. I just supernaturally release right now to every viewer who's watching right now, the dunamis power would come upon them. They would begin to speak in other tongues, Lord. They would enter into a greater, more intimate relationship with you, and they would walk with fire everywhere they go. Fire for apostleship, fire for prophecy, fire for healing, fire for evangelism, fire for teaching, fire for pastoring, fire for their finances, fire for administration, fire for tongues and other tongues, fire for interpretation, fire, 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 in Jesus' name. Come on, just receive it, that you would even in your dreams begin to see yourself speaking in other tongues. Oh, Rabashandadid, it just begins to happen, and that you would receive a miracle healing in your body, and that your mind would come into a place of being sound, and you would not feel, and you would have no more anxiety and depression, but you would rise above and be touched by heaven in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I just feel your presence right now, and I thank you that you're descending. I thank you that fire angels are accompanying the active fire from the Holy Spirit on high coming to be with you. May this be a fresh impartation on the mountain as you pass through Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Pentecost. Fire to ignite you for the new mantles and the new assignments that are coming. Fire to be a giver in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, share this with somebody today. And listen, if you haven't received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all you got to do is say, Father, forgive me. I don't know you like this, Lord. I want to know you this way. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my unrighteousness. And baptize me with the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus. And Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that those who confess with their mouth Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior will be saved. And then after salvation, you receive the Holy Spirit, dunamis power. Somebody get excited. All right, share this with a friend and come join me this month on June 19th at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. I'm having my ascension calls. Learn to live in this place of abundancy. You don't want to wait. These calls are free. Free Zoom call with me for an hour and a half. Leaders come from all over the world online. You'll get to meet people. Come on. Just sign up. It's free. We'll send you the Zoom link. Share this with some friends so they can sign up too. Get a copy of my book, 365 Prophetic Revelations from the Hebrew Calendar. Get on God's timing. Come on. Don't you want to know what he's doing at the exact time? And listen, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Come on. I'm asking you all to do that. A lot of people watch my videos, but they don't subscribe. Subscribe to Facebook. Subscribe to YouTube. It helps me be able to take these messages and expand them. If you don't subscribe, I'm just asking you, give me a gift. Subscribe. If that's all you do, just subscribe. That will be so helpful to be able to take these messages all over the world. All right, I'm getting excited. Now listen, last thing. We're running classes all the time at dreammentors.org. We are discipling nations with our curriculum, teaching people all about how not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of their mind, that you might know the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Come on, don't you want to know that? We're credentialing biblical life coaches and transformational life coaches. They're using our curriculum, doing one-on-ones, small groups. It's going into churches. It is a sound curriculum. You can use it as a membership class for small groups to come up into a place of transforming their souls, but it gets people ready to be good disciplers that they can disciple others. If you want to start your own kingdom business where you learn this yourself, you become credentialed, and then we help you. We teach you how to start your own business, kingdom coaching business, so that you can begin to start to teach and train people. I know this is speaking to some of you right now. Maybe you're on the other end and you just want to grow yourself. Come on, join us for the Soul Transformation class. They're running classes all the time. But what we need to do is have you go to dreammentors.org and sign up today. We'll send you information. We'll tell you when the next classes are. We'll tell you how much they cost and why. And we will get you ready and prepared for the new assignments that God has for you. Come on, you have a new mantle. You've been given new assignments. Catch the fire and let's start running. All right. You're blessed and highly favored. You're above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. You'll lend to many. You'll borrow from none. Live by faith and be a giver. All right. Be blessed, and we will see you next week.